Will you pray with me? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So let's see if we can picture this. John has been arrested because he baptized Jesus and he was teaching about repentance, about change, about transformation. And so Jesus leaves and goes to Capernaum by the sea. And he realizes that, yes, repent, believe the good news. He needs to begin to change, to help people change, to turn around, to be transformed, to follow him. And so after that, picture a lake, there's ships and fishing boats, mostly fishing boats, and Andrew and Simon Peter are on their fishing boat. And Jesus walks up to them and says, come with me, and I will make you fish for people. And they get up immediately. Can you think about that? Immediately they get up and they follow him. They leave everything they had there and they follow him. And then they go a little bit farther down and there's James and John. And this time they're on the boat of their father Zebedee. And Jesus with Andrew and Simon Peter say, drop everything, come, follow me, and I will help you fish for people. And they leave everything, the nets that they are mending, their father, everything there. And they follow Jesus. And then Jesus went throughout the countryside into the synagogues and began teaching about this repentance, this turning around, this hope of God. John the Baptist had started that, and he ended up in jail. And finally, he ended up being killed. And then Jesus begins to do this. And it's common knowledge. They know what's going on. But still, Andrew and Simon and Peter and James and John immediately get up and they follow. It's a call story. And we're all called. So let me tell you a little bit about why I do what I do. You know, growing up in a house where your dad is a pastor, you learn lots of things about the church. Some of those things you learn about the church are absolutely wonderful, and that you're loved and you're cared for, and there are all these people that surround you. But also, some of the things you learn about the church are not so wonderful. You know, those nitty-gritty things, those family arguments that come out, the politics in the church about who gets to be a leader and who doesn't get to be the leader and who can come into the church and who can't come into the church. So, you know, you learn those things growing up. At least I did because of what my dad did. And he wasn't even in a local church from the time I was in kindergarten on. And so as time went on, we were placed in a lot of places where there were people who had been churched, who had gone to church. Many clergy people were around our lives, and I learned, oh, they're just like everybody else. They're just like everybody else. But we were placed in positions and places because of what my dad did. And I learned, oh, I'm never going to do that. Not in a million years am I going to stand up in front of all those people and say words about God. No, not in a million years am I going to do that. And I'm not even going to go to church because look what happened. But you see, God had other things in mind for me. And God had other things in mind for me from the time that I was young. By my parents placing us in places that taught about God's love and God's call, I was given opportunities. Church camp, going to different churches, having to talk to adults and not hide behind my parents when I was very young. So I continue to say, "Yep, nope, not ever going to do that." And you know, when I get the choice, I'm not going to go to church either. Because you see, in my house, where I grew up, we went to church together all the time. Didn't matter what we had done the night before, even in through high school. And if you were too sick to go to church and be with the family of God, you were too sick to do anything else that day, which meant hanging out with friends. Because, you know, that was before Facebook and phones that you could text people on and computers and all of that kind of stuff. So the only way I was going to be able to hang out with my friends was to go and actually see them. So my parents taught me what it means to be a community of faith. And through college, I went, the first year I went, I'm not going to school. No, not going to go to church. Nope, I get the choice now. Well, what I learned was there's something that was missing in my life throughout that time. I still wasn't going to be a pastor. I still was like, nope, God, not doing that. And God had these words and feelings and things that would interrupt what I was doing. So I decided, okay, I'll teach. I'll be a teacher. And I even did that for a couple of years. But even teaching, there was something that was missing in my life. And God keeps on that call. And so finally I said, okay, fine. Okay, God, I'll go. Now there are still times when I'm like, yeah, I don't want to do this anymore. And God says, yes, you do. Yes, you do. And here's the reasons you want to do this. That's not just about being a pastor. We all have a call on our life. And you can tell if that call on your life is what God is wanting you to do. Because you feel the peace that surrounds us. Because there are people who are called to be social workers. And there are people who are called to be teachers. And there are people who are called to be farmers. And there are people who are called to work in electricians. And there are people who are called to be leaders. And there are people who are called to be work in greenhouses, and there are people who are called to be pharmacists, and there are people, God calls us into what we are called to do. Because you see, Jesus off the beaten path, proclaims the kingdom of God, repent, turn around, and follow me. I will help you fish for people. Because it's sometimes not really the connection of what we do, but it's how we do and be at the same time. Because we are a child of God, baptized, called by God. And when we live into our calling, sometimes it works through relationships. Sometimes it works through community. Sometimes it's only at our own local church, but many a times it's out into the world in which we live. God calls us to fish for people, to share the kingdom of God, to turn around and be God's children. But it's not just about people either. What is grace called to do and be? What is God calling Grace United Church of Christ to do and be in this world, in this place called Lancaster? Well, I have some answers to that, but I don't have all the answers. I know that God is calling Grace to be a welcoming, accepting place for everyone. I know that without a doubt. I know that God is calling Grace to let us be who we are in a safe space, loved and cared for, no matter who we are, what we look like, what we do, what we say. Those are the beginnings. But what is God calling Grace United Church of Christ here in Lancaster, Ohio, to be in this world in 2017? You have to answer that with me. You have to hear what God is calling us to do and be. I know that there's some people that think we need to be out in the world doing, doing, doing. And I know that there are some people think that we need to be here listening and opening ourselves up. And I know that there are some people that think we need to maybe be quiet. But what is God calling Grace United Church of Christ to do and be in 2017? I know for a fact that God is calling us to fish for people. How do we do that? How do we, the people, the relationships, the community of faith here at Grace, do that? It's not just up to me. We all have a call on our life. And that call comes through baptism. That call comes through God calling us to be a beloved child of God. So repent, turn around, and join me in fishing for people. Fishing for people. Here at Grace United Church of Christ in Lancaster, Ohio. Help me. Help me help God work together to be who God, to be what and who God is calling us to be. What a great challenge of kindness and compassion and hope that is for each one of us. Amen.